have a question for you. What are you grateful for? Who are you grateful for? How often do you explicitly express your gratitude? I mean, beyond a simple thank you. Welcome to Talk About Talk podcast episode number 155, where we focus on the power of gratitude. My guest for this episode is an expert on gratitude. In fact, she literally wrote a book called The Currency of Gratitude. Her name is Michelle Bailey, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. You're going to learn about the benefits of gratitude, how exactly you can express gratitude in a professional or a work context, how gratitude relates to brand ambassadors, and how to think about gratitude and reciprocity, and even more, including whether expressing gratitude makes you sound weak, and Michelle's provocative thoughts about work-life balance. Are you ready?
Let's do this. Let's talk about talk.
Welcome to Talk About Talk podcast episode number 155, The Currency of Gratitude. In case we haven't met, my name is Dr. Andrea Wojnicki. Please call me Andrea. I'm your executive communication coach. I'm also the founder of Talk About Talk, where I coach ambitious executives like you to elevate your communication, your confidence, your clarity, so you can establish credibility and then make impact and accomplish your career goals. If you go to the talkabouttalk.com website, you'll find many resources there to help you out. There's information there about one-on-one coaching you can do with me, online courses, some amazing boot camps that I run every few months, corporate workshops, the archive of this bi-weekly podcast, and I really hope you'll sign up for the Talk About Talk email newsletter. That newsletter is your chance to get free communication coaching from me. All right, let's get into this. You're about to hear my interview with Michelle Bailey on The Currency of Gratitude. Michelle provides a pretty compelling argument for why we should all be communicating gratitude a lot more often. And this woman walks her talk. She is on a mission to thank everyone around her, in a meaningful way, of course, and also to encourage us to do the same. And yes, as I said, she literally wrote the book on gratitude. It's called The Currency of Gratitude, and you can find a link to this book in the show notes. Here's how this episode's gonna go. First, I'm gonna briefly introduce Michelle, and then we're gonna get right into the interview. And then at the end, I'm gonna summarize with three, yes, of course, always the power of three, three main thoughts or themes that I want you to remember, things that I want to reinforce. All right, let me introduce Michelle. Michelle Bailey is the founder of The Blazing Group, a brand and culture agency that leverages her strategy-first approach to business, her flair for sharing stories, and her desire to enhance employee wellness while pursuing business goals. Her advertising agency, called Blazing, is turning branding inside out with my big idea. Yes, she trademarked that phrase, my big idea, which is an employee mentoring and wellness program designed to propel personal and professional success. In short, Michelle and her team have found the formula for creating awesome business cultures that drive exceptional marketing. Countless companies have discovered greater team cohesion and boosted their bottom line results as a result of Michelle's proprietary process. Today, though, she pushes her clients and others to take it one step further, to make true gratitude integral to the way they do business. As I said, Michelle literally wrote the book on gratitude. It's called The Currency of Gratitude. It's published by Forbes Books, and it's a great read. You can find a link to the book at the bottom of the show notes under the episode description. All right, let's hear from Michelle. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being here today to talk with us about the power of gratitude.
Andrea, I'm so grateful and appreciative to be with you today.
That is a great answer. That is a great answer. So my first question for you is, can you list for us what some of the benefits of gratitude are, either that you've experienced or witnessed, or maybe that you've read about?
First of all, it's an endorphin release. It's a positive release of endorphins that happen within your brain and your body. And Andrea, the power of starting off, let's say your day, with gratitude automatically brings joy, calmness, and you will find yourself smiling without even being conscious of it because you are giving a positive affirmation, acknowledgement, or appreciation to someone else. It lifts you up without you realizing that you're being lifted. It's automatic, and I see it over and over. Think of when someone gives you a really heartfelt thank you, looking at you and just saying thank you. You smile, they smile.
Right. Right. So as you were answering that, something occurred to me. I remember years ago reading some research that said, if daily you write down 1 to 3 things that you're grateful for, research shows that your life satisfaction will improve significantly. And I started doing this and I told a friend about it. And she said, Andrea, if you have to write it down, you've got a problem. And so, I mean, that's a separate conversation. I told her I'd respectfully disagree with you. I think writing it down actually brought me joy. But the reason I brought this up is in that research, they were talking about things that you were grateful for. And what I hear from you is expressing gratitude to people, right?
Andrea, I do talk about writing down the 3 things you're grateful for every day. And I don't want to take anything away from that. But if that brings you a lot of joy, can you imagine what happens when you take that and you send it out to someone else? Mm-hmm. It magnifies it 3-fold, 5-fold, 10-fold. So I love that practice, but I'm on a mission to teach people how easy it is to push gratitude outside of yourself so it has a multiplier effect that's not just about you.
I love that answer. I think it's absolutely true. As you were saying it, I was thinking, if you express gratitude to one person, it's not that you're just doubling it, right? There's a multiplier effect. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because then you set them up for their day and they in turn do positive things for other people. It's just like a kind of pay it forward kind of feeling and message.
Right. So in a professional context, of course, all of this applies personally as well, but we're targeting and speaking with ambitious executives here for the Talk About Talk podcast. So let's keep it focused on a professional context. What are some specific ways that you express gratitude or that you encourage your clients to do the same?
Well, I actually have a methodology of 7 questions that you answer. If you answer these 7 questions openly and honestly, watch the transformation that happens in your relationships, both professionally and personally. The questions are 1 word that describes you. And you're talking to someone else, by the way, Andrea, as you're writing this down.
Okay.
1 word that describes you. You came into my life. You bring me joy by. You inspire me because. I hope to add to our journey together. And I want to thank you for. Simple sentences that you answer and watch the transformation that happens on someone's face when you are clearly identifying how they have helped you and why you in turn are acknowledging or appreciating them. Magical.
Yeah, that is a magical framework. Can you maybe give us a couple of examples, typical examples of when people using that framework? So you could say you're thanking a client or you're thanking an employee. How might it sound?
With a client. Okay, I'll talk about a gentleman who owns a construction company, an Italian gentleman. I want to put this in perspective that he's in his 60s. He's hard on everybody. And when I wrote him a gratitude card answering those questions, because he taught me a lot by being so hard and so tough. So I wrote that a note to him. And his wife came up to me at a recent event and said, you know that note you wrote to my husband? He has it framed in a shadow box in his office. And he tells people, this reminds me of the difference I made in some young entrepreneur's life.
Wow.
Wow is right. And this week I was away with a few friends that I hadn't seen in a while in Florida. And one of the women said to me, do you remember when you had us over for dinner and you gave us each a gift of gratitude? That's what I call these cards, a gift of gratitude. I have to tell you, I still have that card. And I look at it when I'm having a down day to remind myself that there are people out there who care. And this is how you've acknowledged me.
So the cards, when I read your book, I would love actually at some point, maybe you can send me a photo of your box full. I'm guessing you might have many boxes full of thank you cards or gratitude cards. Other than handwriting someone a card, do you have a list of how we can express this? I mean, obviously you could do it verbally. You could look someone in the eye and thank them.
And actually, I'll use just this past week. Apparently Friday was Employee Appreciation Day.
Okay.
And I am a small business owner and I have people who've worked with me, some upwards to 25 years.
Wow.
I was away and realized that I missed Employee Appreciation Day. So I got on my email Sunday night and scheduled it so they would get in their inbox Monday morning. And I wrote to the people in my team as a team. And I reminded them that though I don't always tell them and life gets busy, I want to acknowledge and appreciate every one of you for showing up, doing the work, creating a great culture, and making sure that I look like a superstar each and every day. I'm here to appreciate you. Very unusual for me to send it by email. I wasn't around. And you know what? Each employee, I think except one, reached back out to me.
Mm.
So you know what? My preference, and I'll tell you why my preference is a handwritten note. Even though I do it in person, I do it through email, I do it through calls. I was talking to an executive that I work very closely with. She's a client and she's a friend. And she was telling me, you know, Michelle, I love your message of gratitude. I'm reaching out to my team and I'm calling them up and I'm telling how much I appreciate them. And I said, great. So you wrote them an email. She goes, yes. I said, you didn't want to write a card to your senior leader. She goes, I didn't have the time. I said, can I share with you that you are speaking to me on Zoom or WebEx, whatever it is, and that you are in your home office and in back in your bookcase, I can see 5 cards that are on display and 3 of them are from me.
Oh, nice.
And she just looked at me. She goes, point taken.
Yeah. Okay. So we can express our gratitude through handwritten cards or notes, face-to-face, on the phone, or through email. I was just thinking about something that hadn't occurred to me when I was reading your book, which is expressing gratitude is one very valuable catalyst that we have to reconnect with people. So the reason I'm bringing this up is I do workshops and coaching on strategic networking, right? And some people, a lot of people actually tell me that there are people in their network that they really miss, actually, that they appreciate conversing with and connecting with, but it's been so long that they feel awkward. And I always tell them, well, chances are the other person feels the same. And when you reach out, they'll say, oh, thank goodness they reached out, right? So I have a different way of getting answering that quandary, I suppose. But another way of answering that quandary is to say, why don't you reach out to them and thank them? Right? It's almost like this is a catalyst for connecting with people too.
It absolutely is a catalyst. And you know what, Andrea, I have used with people I haven't seen in a long time. I do put in the subject line, thank you. Or I might put with gratitude, or you made a mark in my life and it's time that we reconnect.
Yeah.
People love it.
Yes. Yeah.
They love it.
They do. Well, otherwise, everything that's in our inbox is someone trying to sell us something or use us for something, right? So what? An email that's expressing gratitude? So here we have established that gratitude is a catalyst. And in your book, which I'm holding up here, The Currency of Gratitude, love this bright red cover. We were talking about this before I hit record. I absolutely love the cover of Michelle's book, which her agency designed, by the way. Gratitude's also a currency. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I will, and I'll actually use what we know as currency. I will use money. When you have, let's just say $10,000 and you stuff it under your mattress for a rainy day, 10 years later, that money has become, maybe it's $8,000 or $7,000. You haven't used it. You haven't put it in circulation. So it is with gratitude. It's a currency. If you put it out and you spend it and you give it, it comes back to you with a mega return, might be 10, 20%. Who knows about the measurement? It's just about making sure that you are putting it out wherever you feel you should, because it does come back to you in the most unexpected ways. And I see it over and over again before I knew that gratitude was part of my personal brand.
Mm.
I didn't know it was Andrea, someone had to tell me, who knew me well, that gratitude was part of my brand.
Oh, wow. Now you're speaking my language, Michelle. So speaking of speaking my language, I loved the section in your book about brand ambassadors and client referrals. So I don't know if we ever talked about this, but my dissertation research when I earned my doctorate was focused on word of mouth and why people make recommendations or referrals or why they don't, why they keep quiet and whether they're talking about positive things or negative things. So in this context, you're talking about client referrals. So it's obviously a positive recommendation. And so how do brand ambassadors, can you elaborate on how I can become an ambassador for the ambassador who referred me, right? So it's a little bit meta.
Okay. So actually, instead of giving you probably the answer you expect, I'm going to give you the answer that you're not expecting. A few weeks ago, someone that we both admire and respect and have done work with, okay, Laura Reynolds at BMO, suggested that she knew you and she knew me, and there was a lot of synergies. So she became a personal brand ambassador, not only for you, Andrea, she became one for me. Mm-hmm. And she decided that we needed to get together because we have a lot in common, and it would be better if we met and talked about things together. She has nothing to gain from putting us together.
Right.
She did this because she thought we would be of benefit to each other. And I'm not talking about in the monetary sense or the business sense. I'm talking about the personal sense. So that she became a personal brand ambassador for both of us and put us together. And when I think about brand ambassadors, I think about my own firm, Blazing. I have created such great brand ambassadors who work here. Remember, the average tenure is close to 14 years. Amazing. That I've rarely gone out to hire people. It's my people who talk about Blazing to other people who then come to me and get a job. Wow. Most of the people that I've hired here are through my brand ambassadors. In fact, a lot of the people that I've hired without coming through my brand ambassadors haven't worked out in the long run.
That is fascinating. You're making me think about a bunch of things, right? So one thing is just the not surprising research that shows that when one of us makes a recommendation to another for a product or a service, say I recommend a restaurant to you, I am really hoping that you go to that restaurant, first of all, because that says something about you trusting and believing me that I made a credible recommendation. And then I hope that the restaurant knocks it out of the park because it's almost like it has a halo effect on me. So that's related to what we're talking about here a little bit, right? And the other thing that I was thinking is me, myself, as a coach and a small business owner, when I read this chapter in your book about brand ambassadors, I was thinking about some of the clients that I have that I've coached maybe in the last 5 years who are constantly referring new clients to me, right? And I realize I always thank them. But I need to really express my gratitude for that, for them being a brand ambassador. So I think that's, you know, an amazing key learning for all of us. And you don't have to be a small business owner to appreciate this point about referrals and brand ambassadors, do you?
No, it's for every person everywhere, whether it's personally or professionally. You know, I keep referring people to a particular investment advisor I know because people come to me and say, Michelle, you know who I should be talking to. Who do I talk to? And I refer them without thinking based on their personality and what I think their investment style would be. I refer to different people. There is one investment advisor. I can't tell you how many times beautiful bouquet of flowers have shown up or a gift card to a spa. And I don't do it for that. I do it because I know you will take care of this person that I've referred to you.
Right.
But it's interesting how this one particular advisor always makes sure she recognizes and acknowledges and appreciates me with something she thinks I would really enjoy, like a gift certificate to a spa. Mm. She's nailed it.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. Good to know, Michelle. Your currency is spa certificates. Got it. There was something in the back of my mind as I was reading your book that you then addressed explicitly. So I'm wondering if some of the listeners might be thinking about this as well. Can you talk about your point that some people may believe that expressing gratitude somehow makes you weak or appear weak. What do you have to say to that?
This is where there's a bit of confusion around gratitude.
Yeah.
Gratitude is a soft skill, and it's a skill that, like compassion and empathy, may be in short supply, especially the last few years. So I would challenge people when they say to me, Michelle, gratitude, you know, it's kind of not what I do. I say it's a soft skill, but it's a human capital skill.
Mm.
And you better recognize it as a human capital skill, because this is what builds loyalty to you as a leader, loyalty to you as a person, and makes people feel comfortable to be vulnerable, transparent, and really direct with you. It is a human skill that I feel we should be teaching in school.
Mm.
Because gratitude is so simple to execute. And again, looking at someone in the face, shaking their hand, maybe clasping their hand, saying, I appreciate you, and I just need you to really understand and know it. So take it out of soft skills and make it a human capital skill.
I love that. You're making me think about, you know, as a parent or in elementary schools or even earlier, we adults teach our kids the P's and Q's. Make sure you say please and thank you. And I remind my teenagers now when they go over to someone's house, make sure you say thank you to the parents when you leave, right? But this is about going beyond just the simple please and thank yous, right? It's about, as you say, expressing gratitude. And it's in a very sincere, I guess, customized and personalized way, a meaningful way.
And we all receive gratitude differently. For a lot of men in my life, as long as I like to sit down and look at people right in the eyes and say, I really appreciate when you did this for me or when you're doing this. I want you to know it's not gone unnoticed. And I just want you to know that from the very bottom of my heart, I appreciate that all you've done for me. Because some people you don't want to write a note to or don't feel compelled to write a note to, yep, and don't want to write an email. So have the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great point. You're not just customizing the words, but even the medium through which you're communicating or expressing the gratitude. That's a great
Absolutely.
Point. So back to the P's and Q's and our manners. The other thing that we are taught is the significance or importance, I guess, of reciprocity. So how does reciprocity, so you said that you referred people to this wealth planner who then reciprocated or said thank you with spa gift certificates and bouquets of flowers. So is this just like a cycle that keeps going and going? So how does reciprocity fit in here?
You know, I'll take that example. Whenever I get something back from this particular advisor, it surprises me because I don't expect it. Because for me, gratitude is about, if you're in the gratitude game so that you can give to get out of the game. Gratitude is about giving because you want to give, and you shouldn't expect anything in return. And if something does come, wow, that's an unexpected gift. But reciprocity in the gratitude game doesn't work. You will be disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can smell it a mile away when someone does it to you anticipating. So very recently, one of my newsletters was focused on this very topic, Michelle. It was about the dangers of assuming reciprocity and how it can backfire and instead leaning into generosity. I guess generosity and gratitude are similar in many ways, right?
They absolutely are, because again, just think it's about giving more than is expected. Giving more. And yeah, the reciprocity game, boy, if I was waiting for people to pay back to me all that I've done for them, I'd be very long in the tooth before that ever came back.
You know, when I was reading your book, Michelle, I did keep, in fact, I wrote it on the inside. I have all sorts of notes that I wrote. You know, I like a book when I'm writing all over it. I hope you're not offended. but I actually have a list of people that I subsequently have sent very explicit thank yous to. And so that's kind of what was top of mind as I was going through it. But there's a scenario that I want to share with you that is very consistent with many of the themes that we're talking about here. At the end of the year, last year, at the end of the calendar year, I identified two people in my network that have been incredibly generous brand ambassadors for me. And they've referred a lot of business to me. And to each of them, I sent them to my favorite photographer. So I was a brand ambassador for her, right? This is getting meta. I sent them both with like all expenses, including the makeup and the hair. You just show up with your outfits. She'll make you gorgeous and she's going to take 500 pictures of you. So I sent them both to that for that experience. So it was me explicitly thanking them, which I did in the note. And then I said, here's my gift for you. So it was like, and it was something customized that I know both of them love. They've subsequently had the photo sessions and they love them. But I'm also being an ambassador at the same time for this woman who's an amazing professional photographer, right? So it's kind of a bunch of themes that we've mentioned here. Yeah.
You know, which is great. See, I love that. That's, again, an unexpected gift, acknowledging the difference someone has made in your life. And I also want to talk about gratitude as giving people the gift of your time, because we are all time pressed. And when you give people the gift of your time, and you are really doing active listening and asking them questions that are relevant to them and not just surface questions, that to me is also a form of gratitude, because we are all time starved. And when you put aside and make time for people and show and just listen, active listening, that is also a way to show appreciation to someone. And so many people are struggling to be heard today.
I very well put. You will be quoted on that, Michelle. Very well put. So now, speaking of time, beautiful segue. You made a comment in the book, I think you referenced it a couple times, about work-life balance. And I know from our previous discussions that you absolutely love your job, right? So maybe for you, it's a little bit different than it is for me. And I do too, in case it's not obvious. I love what I do. So, and maybe for that reason, it's even more easy for work to feel all consuming and to take over more and more of our personal life. But you have a different take on that. And I found it to be very provocative. Can you elaborate on your advice for people in terms of managing, quote unquote, work-life balance?
You know, there is, and I've been asked many, many times as a small business owner to talk about work-life balance. And I just say to people, there's no work-life balance. There will never be balance. There's a blend. There's an integration. Decide and put aside time to refuel you first, and making sure, like for me, I think we've spoken about this. I like to take a walk when the sun is just coming up with my two dogs in the woods, because that grounds me. It grounds me and gives me the balance or blend I need to get through the day. And I like to close my day again with those same dogs when the sun is starting to set, if I'm home, to be able to take them for a walk again to ground myself. And, you know, make time for the people that matter to you, especially people who really need a connection or energy from you, but make it at a time where it also works for you. I used to always give away my time whenever someone needed it. Now I'm a little bit, actually probably a lot more conscious of when I'm going to give away my time and energy, because not that it's a reciprocity game, but it's about making sure that you're remaining true and whole to yourself and making sure that you need the fuel you need to get through the day, the week, the month, and making sure that you've got what it takes so you can then turn around and help other people.
Yeah.
It's never equal. It's up and down. Like I know this week I'm going to have a lot more professional time given away than personal time. And that's this week. Next week, maybe it might be slightly different.
Again, it's a good thing that you enjoy your job, but that I like that work-life blend instead of balance. I agree. Saying that you're going to balance, it's
Show me someone who's got a balanced life. There's not many of them.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's about identifying priorities, right? And making rules for yourself. It sounds like you're doing that. And you're also, the other interesting thing about your response there was, you're not just thinking about this week, you're thinking about next week. Like, it's okay that I And you were on vacation last week, right? And now you're doubling down on professional and making sure you're doing FaceTime with your professional network. And then the next week, it'll be maybe a little bit more of filling up your own personal cup.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
And I always plan things out, preferably a year at a time. So I know when I'm going to have refuel time with my girlfriends, when I'm going to have refuel time with my family. Like, I plan it out. So I also have carrots to look forward to, because when you're working really, really hard and putting in the hours, you need to know that there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago, when I was a doctoral student, actually, I read a paper, which again, said something that you probably would, we all probably would guess, but I find this insight to be really powerful. Vacations are, for most people, contained in the time when you are taking vacation days. But if you can think about your vacation as three steps, the planning, the experiencing, and the recalling or the remembering, and leveraging all three of those, I think that helps maybe with this work-life blend, right? And I agree. I'm going to Costa Rica next week. So I'm working like crazy and I'm happy to do so. Yeah, that's a great insight.
A great insight. I have friends who actually plan 18 months out.
Yeah.
That work as hard as a lot of us do. Mm. And they just say, I need to know those 18 months out because it keeps me going.
Yeah. You know what? I think that's going to become an objective of mine, a priority of mine, is thinking about that. It's tough given my life stage and how much of it is dictated by my kids right now and what they're doing. But I think that's a great goal for all of us to plan the celebrations and the vacations and revel in the anticipation of them. I love that. I love that. Thank you for that, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else before we move on to the three rapid fire questions that you want to add about gratitude and the currency of gratitude?
There is. Before we go to the three questions, I talked about what was my communication pet peeve. My communication pet peeve currently is the professional ghosting that's happening amongst leaders. Mm. Professional ghosting.
Okay.
What is professional ghosting? You're probably asking me. So let's take the fact that a lot of the business that I have, that you have, is referral based.
Yeah.
When you're referred to someone and you meet them, whether it's on Zoom or in person, you have great conversations. So they've reached out to you. You've had great conversations. They've asked for information and they've asked for materials and they've asked for follow-up. So you spend this time preparing and putting work into preparing, reiterating what you've chatted about, what their needs are, and how you might help. Then you follow up once, you follow up twice, you follow up three times, and no answer back.
Yeah.
So I'm speaking to all of us as professionals. This is not someone soliciting me on my email or LinkedIn that I've never heard of, trying to sell something. This is a professional discussion amongst two people, most of whom have been referred. If you don't have the budget, the time, do the courtesy of letting this person know. Time is a very valuable currency. We can never get it back. So this professional ghosting, which I've really seen grown in the last several years, is not good. It's not good for all of us as professionals, especially if you've reached out to someone or there's a strong connection or a personal ambassador. So I just kind of want to say that because it is a pet peeve of mine with this communication. Yeah. And we need to stop that because we're all people, we're all working hard, and we all need some form of respect or acknowledgement. Even it's not a good time anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's beyond bad manners. You have taken someone's time, and more than just the phone call and the meeting, right? As you say, pulling together a proposal or whatever it was that you pulled together for them, even just a response in email, and then to ghost them. So I have a theory. I hadn't thought about this explicitly before, but this is Ron Tite's Think, Do, Say. There is a chapter in this book about the people that he calls the pitch slappers, which are the folks that you referenced, Michelle, who friend you on LinkedIn. He talks about LinkedIn. He's very active on LinkedIn. And then immediately, and sometimes he said you can see it in their headline, they're going to, you know, they're going to come back to you with a sales pitch. You've never met them before. They basically cold call connected with you, and you graciously accepted the connection. And then they send you a message and they start selling. So I tell my clients this when we're talking about LinkedIn. If you did not initiate a discussion, or if there was no previous discussion, you are under absolutely no obligation to respond. In other words, you can ghost someone, absolutely, who is, in Ron Tite's vernacular, pitch slapping you. There's no need to respond. It's not bad manners. What's bad manners is them pitching to you without even knowing you, right? I wonder if this pitch slapping, Michelle, has become so common that people are now starting to think it's okay to ghost anyone who's sending them any kind of proposal, including a proposal that they asked for. So while I agree with you 100%, that is not cool. Like, if someone asks me for a proposal, and it happens to me too, it doesn't happen very often. And the other thing I wanted to say is, the people who have ghosted me when I've sent them proposals, I always think later, I go, yeah, I should have seen that coming. That person, they're always a little bit, they're like, they're a little selfish or a little insecure, or there's something like they weren't really all in, right? But that's not my main point. My main point is, I wonder if the pitch slapping has become so common that we are forced to, like, I ghost people every day who ask me to be a guest on this podcast, who ask me to, you know, whatever, give them a referral or coach them for free or whatever they're asking me for, or that they want to sell me something to help me run my business. I didn't ask for any of that. I ghost them. But if I was in a conversation with someone, for sure, I would respond to them, right? If they sent me a proposal. But I wonder if it's becoming so common.
You know what? I think you're giving people an out.
Well, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying that explains it.
It explains it. But what's interesting for me is a lot of these people who are pitch slapping me, like not getting back, when they're out of a job, I'm one of the first 10 people they turn to ask, can we just have a coffee? No. I'd like to pick your brain. Who in your network could help me? And I've never had the courage to say to them, you never wanted to help me, but now you're looking because I have a vast network to help you. Right. I've never had the courage to dignify this, because empathy and having grace are part of my brand as well. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, this is one of the communication pet peeves that I'm seeing, not only with myself, but a lot of other professionals. And we're wondering, how can we change their narrative on this for all
right.
of us?
Right. With the people that are helping me run my business, I talk about closing the loop, right? And I think that this is an example where saying to someone, and maybe even in the follow-up email, saying, can we close the loop on this? I just want to know if you're interested or not, right? Like, and we should be doing that for each other. Whenever someone gives us a proposal, we either, yes, accept the proposal, or I'm sorry, I don't have the time or the money or whatever it is, but you close the loop.
I love that. Actually, yeah. I'm going to be using that with a few people that some people have asked me to redo proposals 4 times.
What? Oh, okay. Well, they're just using you. Yeah. I know that's common. That's common in agency land, right? The proposal is actually the work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, that's not cool. That is not cool.
Right.
All right. So, Michelle, the 3 rapid fire questions. The first one, well, we'll say the first one is your communication pet peeve is people who don't close the loop or people who ghost you. Yes. Yeah. It's rude. Yeah. It is rude.
It's rude. And we as leaders need to change that.
Yeah. Call it out. Yeah. Okay. Question number 2. Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I think you're going to be surprised for me to tell you that I'm an introvert who presents as an extrovert. And people look at me like they'll put their mouth open, like, no way. Yes way. Mm. I need a lot of solitude and quiet.
Yeah.
And the ability to write and think for me to go out, especially when I'm facilitating or speaking to large groups of people, to give the energy that I feel people need. If you're going to give me 45 minutes of your time, you better walk away with some great takeaways.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really go deep down inside and deep to do that. I'm an introvert.
I would have guessed you're an introvert. Do you know why? 2 reasons. 1, you said that you collect yourself in the morning and sometimes in the evening by going for a walk alone with your dogs. That's one thing you said. And the other thing is, I can tell you didn't label yourself as this. I'm labeling you as a fantastic listener, and introverts are the best listeners. Yes. And so this is about where you get your energy, right? You get your energy from the walks with your dogs, the solitude in the forest with them. And you are a fantastic listener. Being an extrovert or an introvert, though, is different from your social anxiety. Like, I can see you enjoy being around people, like, right? So, but your cup gets filled, your energy gets refueled when you're alone. So I hate this label of like high functioning introvert, or I'm an introvert who acts like an extrovert. No, you're an introvert and you're socially very comfortable.
Thank you. That's how I'm going to describe myself now. Yeah.
Good. Okay. The last rapid fire question is there a podcast that you find yourself recommending lately?
Besides yours?
Nice. Nice, Michelle. Wait for it. Talk about talk.
You know, Tim Ferriss, they're long, but they're good. When I want some comedy, Smartless.
Yeah.
Happier, how to bring more joy into your life, On Purpose, and Huberman Lab, and Voices of Leadership. These are good ones, depending on what I want to listen to or what I want to learn. These are my go-tos.
I've listened to all of those except, is it Voices? The last one you mentioned, Voices?
Voices of Leadership.
Those are fantastic recommendations. I'm going to put links to all of them in the show notes. Any last words for the listeners about the power of gratitude, Michelle?
Yes. In under 5 minutes, you can change a relationship with someone in your professional or personal life. Mm. It takes less than 5 minutes. Don't overthink it. Just do it. Just write it. Just call them. Just email. Under 5 minutes and watch what happens.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Michelle. I am very grateful for this time, for the time and the incredible insights that you shared with me and the listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
Isn't Michelle great? Thanks again, Michelle, for your time and for sharing your insights about gratitude with me and with the Talk About Talk listeners. And now, as promised, I want to point out three things that I hope you'll remember, three things that I want to reinforce from this conversation with Michelle about gratitude. The first point is about the benefits of gratitude. At the beginning of the interview, she mentioned the endorphin release that we experience when we express gratitude. And then when we express gratitude to others, they in turn also benefit from endorphin release. It's contagious. And that in itself is a big benefit. The second benefit of expressing gratitude is that it builds loyalty. Think of the stories Michelle shared about client referrals, brand ambassadors, and tokens of gratitude. This all builds loyalty. The third benefit of gratitude that we discussed is that gratitude can be a catalyst for connecting with others. So think about that person that you regret not staying connected with. Chances are you're grateful to them for some reason. Reaching out with a simple thank you can be a catalyst to reconnect with that person. You're welcome. So the three benefits of gratitude are endorphins, loyalty, and the fact that gratitude can serve as a catalyst for reconnecting with someone in your network. The second point I want to reinforce is Michelle's point about the significance of brand ambassadors when it comes to gratitude. Think about the individuals in your network. Maybe they've provided you with client referrals, or they may have mentored you, or perhaps they've acted as a sponsor to help you accelerate your career trajectory. These are your personal brand ambassadors. As you're strategically thinking about your career, if you haven't done so already, make a list of who your important brand ambassadors are and make sure they know how grateful you are. The third and last point I want to reinforce is a call to action. Yeah, this is your homework. I challenge you to leverage the currency of gratitude by explicitly, directly thanking three people. It might be a client, a coworker, a mentor. You probably know who these people are. Choose three. They're your brand ambassadors. Then customize a thank you for each of them. Customize the medium, through which you communicate this. It could be through email or over the phone. It could be face to face. Maybe take them out for lunch. Or you could do like Michelle does and write them a formal thank you card. If you're not sure what to say to these people, here's a list of 7 prompts from Michelle's book. I took them from her book that she also mentions in the interview. 1. One word that describes you is. 2. You came into my life when. 3. You bring me joy by. 4. You contribute to my life by. 5. You are special to me because. 6. You have helped me by. And 7, the obvious one, I want to thank you for. You can choose from any of these 7 prompts, or you can customize one for yourself that's appropriate. And of course, you can find these prompts in Michelle's book, The Currency of Gratitude, and also in the transcript in the show notes for this episode. Okay, that's it for this episode. I want to say thank you again to Michelle. Michelle, I am very grateful that you shared your time and your insights with me and the Talk About Talk listeners. Truly, I'm feeling inspired. So thank you, Michelle. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, I hope you'll share it with your friends and generously leave me a review on whatever podcast app you're using. It really makes a difference and I appreciate it. If you want to connect, I would love to hear from you. You can connect with me on LinkedIn and message me there, or you can go to the talkabouttalk.com website and send me a message there. Thanks again for listening. I am grateful. Talk soon.